Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program number 440, Triumph of the Shill, Part 4, The Gruppenfuhrer, being recorded on January 5th of the year 2004. We concluded Side 1 with discussion of the private investigator Anthony Pelicano, who had been conducting an investigation into possible sexual harassment charges against Arnold Schwarzenegger in connection with a projected run for the governorship by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the possibility that the investigation, or the same firm, might have been utilized by Schwarzenegger for the investigation that he had projected was going to be taking place. All of a sudden, Anthony Pelicano experienced some serious legal difficulties, and that basically interdicted, or very possibly interdicted, what Schwarzenegger was planning to do. We concluded by looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger's, or at Anthony Pelicano's role in helping to deflect the notion that there was a fourth shot in President Kennedy's assassination, and also in claiming that the Watergate tape erasure, the famous 18-and-a-half-minute Watergate tape erasure, might have been an accident. Among the cases he had worked on previously was the John DeLorean case. The very formidable Gordon Novell had also worked on behalf of John DeLorean, and also figured in the investigation into the erasure of the Watergate tapes. Note also that Mark Furman had employed Anthony Pelicano on his behalf in connection with the O.J. Simpson case as well. There are a number of evidentiary tributaries overlapping the Pelicano situation and O.J. Simpson. We're going to listen to a short section of For the Record Program number 434, Triumph of the Shill, Part 2, Reichstag Wildfire, unquote, and we're going to listen to some of my ruminations about Schwarzenegger, what I had been communicating to people in September and late August when Arnold Schwarzenegger was involved in the recall run, and unfortunately some of the things that I had been projecting have been taking place to a certain extent. Hopefully my worst fears in that regard will not be realized. This program was recorded on November 10th of the year 2003. Again, it's from For the Record 434, Triumph of the Shill, Part 2, Reichstag Wildfire. One of the things I noted when people asked me what I thought would happen when Schwarzenegger got elected, or if he got elected, and I told them I thought that one of the things that was going to have to happen was some sort of disaster, whether a terrorist incident of some kind or a triggered natural disaster, such as a triggered earthquake, something that is possible. FDR 69 talks about that. U.S. and Soviets actually had a treaty about such matters, specifically mentioning earthquakes, so that was on the books by the mid-1970s. I said that Schwarzenegger, in a number of lectures, both in Northern and Southern California, about Schwarzenegger's candidacy, I noted that Schwarzenegger was not going to be able to do what he said he was going to do. He wasn't going to be able to balance the budget and not cut essential programs and not raise taxes. In fact, he said he was going to cut the very regressive car tax, which is a big burden on people, and that in turn would add $4 billion to the $8 billion state deficit. And I said that something is going to have to be done, or Schwarzenegger, something's going to have to happen if Schwarzenegger gets elected, and I believe him to be a point man for the next generation of the Underground Reich. I said something's going to have to happen to obscure the fact that he is either going to have to renege on his campaign promises or do something that's going to stick in people's throats. And I specifically said, watch for a natural disaster. And I thought the possibility of the triggering of a major earthquake in northern or southern California, probably northern California with its Democratic constituency, would serve as a great way to wipe out the electoral results from northern California. Certainly they wouldn't be able to organize an election if there was a major earthquake. It'll also give Schwarzenegger a chance to do what George Bush did on September 11th, basically to walk around and comfort the bereaved victims and hold them in his muscular, sheltering arms. And in many newspapers, he was photographed doing exactly that. I still think we need to be on our guard for the possibility of a triggered Tesla-style earthquake in Northern California before the 2004 election. Of course, that would negate any electoral strength coming from Northern California. It would give the governor of California extraordinary discretion in how to handle the election in this state. We might even not have an election in Northern California or the state of California. It couldn't be blamed on terrorists or on Bush's national security policies because it would be an act of God. And again, the president and the governor could tour the disaster site and look concerned and so forth. And that's basically about the only thing George Bush has really been able to do about September 11th. So noting this, and I noted this, my belief that The pictures of Schwarzenegger uniting the stricken people and comforting the bereaved victims in his muscular arms would make very, very good airplay. It's exactly what we've seen. And again, I'm asking about these wildfires. Were they perhaps, in effect, Reichstag wildfires preordained for political effect? I don't know. But I'm asking that question, and I'm afraid that may have been true. That, again, from For the Record program number 434, and that recorded on November 10th. We're going to touch back on the subject of the wildfires. But again, what I had envisioned was, since Schwarzenegger had basically made promises that he couldn't possibly fulfill, something was going to have to happen to get Schwarzenegger off the hook. And there's nothing like a disaster. And if it were terrorist incidents per se, that could cast aspersions on the security policy of the Bush White House. And Schwarzenegger is very, very close to the Bush administration. And so I theorized that natural disasters, something that happened in California anyway, might very well be exploited. In connection with the wildfires, those, many of them, were criminal acts. They were acts of arson, and more than half of the people who died were Native Americans on reservations, and Native American gambling interests have been scapegoated by Arnold Schwarzenegger. One thing I didn't mention in the original broadcast, For the Record 434, there were a lot of calls to basically mainstream and right-wing talk shows in California around the time of the fires, saying, yeah, basically those damned Indians got what they deserved and so forth. Something to think about in that regard. Now, you heard the ruminations that I engaged in concerning the possibility of earthquakes, and of course California has earthquakes just like it has wildfires. Earthquakes, too, can be manipulated. We're going to take a look at the following. This is from Yahoo, and in turn, it is an AP story, and this is from December 22nd of 2003, about 6 weeks after the program that you just heard excerpted was recorded. Two dead as quake hits Central California. An earthquake rocked California's central coast Monday and shook the state from Los Angeles to San Francisco, collapsing old downtown buildings in this small town and killing at least two people in the rubble. The 11:16 a.m. quake, its magnitude measured at 6.5, pitched the roof of Paso Robles' 1892 clock tower building into a street, crushing a row of parked cars in this San Luis Obispo County town about 20 miles east of the epicenter. So, once again, Arnold Schwarzenegger has a disaster with which to unite the people and in the context of which he can pose as the friend to every man and woman and once again shelter the bereaved victims in his muscular arms. One of the things that I've noted in among other broadcasts for the Record Program 69 is that it is a matter of public record that earthquakes can be deliberately triggered. Obviously, with plate tectonics being what they are, you can't cause the massive slippage of continental plates against one another, but where there is sufficient stress built up on a fault system to permit an earthquake, it can be deliberately triggered through manipulating electromagnetism, the resonant properties of the Earth itself, and the Earth's electromagnetic field. The following, in connection with that, is from Yahoo's website as well. This is a Reuters story from December 23, 2003. California earthquake rang planet like a bell. It's a Reuters story by Peter Henderson from L.A. California's largest earthquake in years struck on Monday, causing planet Earth to ring like a bell and mountains to grow a foot taller, geologists said on Monday. And the thing that's so interesting about this particular phraseology is it basically touches on one of the things that can permit earthquakes to be caused. The Earth itself, it wobbles as it rotates. That wobbling in the Earth's rotation is called Chandler's wobble, and the Earth itself is surrounded by a large electromagnetic field. So as the Earth wobbles on its rotation, that's called Chandler's wobble, what you have is an oscillating electromagnetic field, and an electromagnetic field or pulse can be synchronized in phase with that. That's one of the things that, according to the documentation, can be used to produce earthquakes. Nikola Tesla used mechanical resonance to produce a small earthquake in New York City in the late 19th century, and the U.S. and former Soviet Union actually had a treaty on the books by the late 1970s dealing with earthquakes. We're going to touch back on the subject of environmental modification as a weapon of war, and this again by providing a little bit of perspective on some of the things that I've discussed, and I can appreciate that some of this will appear to be utterly insane to some people. I wish to hell it was, because unfortunately these things are possible. Now, whether or not the Paso Robles quake was deliberately triggered, I don't know. I do know that I had been afraid of just such things, and I'm hoping that we don't have the big one here in Northern California anytime soon, because that would be absolutely devastating. A paper about the Environmental Modification Treaty, titled Addressing Environmental Modification in Post-Cold War Conflict, is authored by Susana Pimento Chamorro and Edward Hammond of the Sunshine Project. It is online on the Internet, and the full URL will be given in the description for the program. But in connection with natural disasters, and consider here wildfires and earthquakes, I would note that not only are they specifically mentioned in the Environmental Modification Treaty, but for those who might find some of my ruminations about the California wildfires to be completely off base, I would note that the Zapatistas and also Native Americans in the Amazon have specifically targeted fires that had been started as deliberate acts of war, they believed anyway, against them. Skipping down in this paper, Zapatista communities have also voiced suspicion that the extensive fires recently experienced in their region could be the product of deliberate attempts to influence the course of their insurgency. 5. They are not alone, that's the footnote, by the way, they are not alone in their concern about the use of fire to achieve economic and political objectives. Angry at the damage caused by deliberately set fires in the Amazon, in 1998, a Yanomami spokesman told Reuters, quote, "The white men started these fires, and they have to put them out. If the fire is not put out, we will have nothing to hunt and nothing to fish. They will come and take the Indians' land. Our reservation will disappear." And skipping down in this paper, of the specifically the environmental events that were envisioned as methods of as possible weapons of war, they include triggering earthquakes, and this is specifically mentioned in the treaty language and in FTR number 69, which is available on the download only page from WFMU. In For the Record 69, I excerpt the actual treaty text itself, and it specifically, the treaty between the U.S. and former Soviet Union mentions earthquakes. Among the activities here, triggering earthquakes, provoking flood or drought, deforestation, the use of herbicides, setting fires, and other manipulation of El Nino and La Nina. Note that wildfires and earthquakes are among the events that were envisioned as possible weapons of war. Skipping down still further in the paper, Article 2, that's of the Environmental Modification Treaty, Article 2 lists examples of environmental modification techniques and includes among them provocation of earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, and typhoons, disruption of ecological balance and climatic elements, change in ocean currents, and changes in the state of the ozone layer. And again, this will appear to be perhaps mad to some people, but it's actually this sort of thing. Nuclear weapons, of course, are too destructive to use to any significant extent. And this would appear to be perhaps bizarre or off base, this is actually a logical extension of Karl von Clausewitz's theory of total war. Karl von Clausewitz, the famous Prussian military theoretician. And we're going to go into economics, sociology, and the application of von Clausewitz's methods. An understanding of von Clausewitz is important for evaluating not only what's going on in the world as a whole, but specifically to locate oneself within some of the discussion that I engage in. This might appear to be a little too esoteric for some, but von Clausewitz is basic reading for any general staff officer, and I would suggest that people who want to understand what's going on in the world should familiarize themselves with The Art of War by Sun Tzu, The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli, and On War by Karl von Clausewitz. And the Paso Robles earthquake, whether it was simply a natural occurrence or whether it was deliberately triggered, was once again an excuse for Arnold Schwarzenegger to do what he does so well, which is to declare an emergency. In For the Record number 434, I excerpted the book They Thought They Were Free, and one of the things that permitted Hitler to succeed in Germany was that there were constant crises, and people were fascinated by these crises, and that it basically permitted Hitler to present himself as the national savior in this constant series of crises. And so far, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been the emergency governor, the man of action, the action hero taking action against these emergencies, the wildfire, the earthquake, and now the economic crisis as well. First, about the earthquake, San Jose Mercury of Wednesday, December 24th of 2003. This dateline of Paso Robles, it's by Barbara Fader-Ostroff and John Wolfuck of the Mercury News. Schwarzenegger visits. Governor declares state of emergency and offers hope. Against a backdrop of crumpled storefronts and driving rain, Arnold Schwarzenegger on Tuesday declared a state emergency in San Luis Obispo County as a first step toward financial aid for the Central California region hardest hit by Monday's 6.5 magnitude earthquake. "Today, this is a site of devastation," Schwarzenegger told hundreds of Soggy residents who gathered in a downtown park for his short mid-morning visit. "These buildings may have crumbled, but I know the people will not buckle that easily. This will be your main street once again," unquote. So far, Schwarzenegger is turning out to be the emergency governor, the Kaiser of California, the great leader who will lead us out of our peril in the many emergencies that have been overtaking California. I just hope that we don't have the big one here in Northern California. That would drastically affect national politics, would wipe out much of California, actually, because it would trash the water supply. It would be salinated if there were a really big one. And it also would necessarily wipe out one of the large liberal constituencies that remain as a thorn in George Bush's side. Bear in mind that specifically California had been targeted by the Bush administration right after the 2000 election. And we will have Arnold Schwarzenegger deciding what needs to be done in the event of any sort of electoral irregularity that take place in California should a really big natural disaster such as the big one in Northern California take place. Again, I'm hoping that this fear of mine does not get realized, but so far the things that I had been talking about during the campaign, during Schwarzenegger's recall campaign in August and early September, have been taking place, and I hope to God that this one doesn't take place as well. Also, by the way, for people that hear this in other parts of the country, if it does, I may not be here to talk about it afterwards. So stash this broadcast away. And if, God forbid, something like that does happen, well, ruminate about it. And light a candle for me, baby, because I'll probably be history at that point. Speaking about Schwarzenegger, and once again, he declared a state of emergency about the economy. So far, Schwarzenegger is the emergency Fuhrer as well as the Gruppenfuhrer. San Francisco Chronicle, Monday, December 22nd of 2003. And bear in mind that the policies of Schwarzenegger's advisor and campaign manager, Pete Wilson, had much to do with creating the fiscal emergency that helped to bedevil Gray Davis, as well as the fact that the economy itself has turned down. But here's Schwarzenegger, the Gruppenfuhrer, the emergency, the Kaiser who will lead us from the emergency, the Kaiser of California, as I dubbed him in For the Record 436. About the declaring of an economic emergency by the emergency Fuhrer here in California, the San Francisco Chronicle of Monday, December 22nd of 2003, has an op-ed column by Mark Leno, a state assemblyman for District 13, which includes the eastern half of San Francisco. "Limited funds, unlimited needs," it reads in part. In light of all the praise Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is receiving for keeping his word to continue funding local government, it is important to take a step back and review the nature of our state's budget crisis. The legislature knew this past September when we passed the budget that we would face an $8 billion deficit in the coming fiscal year. That hole grew to approximately $14 billion on November 17th when the newly sworn-in governor signed an executive order that rescinded the increase of the vehicle license fee, otherwise known as the car tax. This was clearly a popular first step for the new chief executive to take, but was it fiscally wise or prudent? Schwarzenegger had repeatedly stated during his campaign that the problem in Sacramento was the legislature's spending addiction and that he would stop spending money the state did not have. Ironically, his first official act as governor was to spend billions the state did not have. Given that the proceeds of the VLF go directly to cities and counties to cover the cost, note this next paragraph here, because it is emergency services such as police and fire services, obviously the kinds of services that have been in primary demand as a result of things like the wildfires, the earthquakes, the other things that Schwarzenegger has been able to become the emergency Fuhrer in response to, yeah, amending a sentence with a proposition, but it is precisely the emergency services, fire and police, that Schwarzenegger was able to grandstand by saving. They were the services that get funded by the vehicle cuts, and they are the services, obviously, that are very much required when there is a disaster. And Schwarzenegger was able to say, well, see, I will save police and fire by creating the state of emergency, and the fires and the earthquakes helping to basically convince people in a very dramatic and concrete way that they had no choice but to go along with the Gruppenfuhrer. Given the proceeds of the VLF go directly to cities and counties to cover the cost of fire and police protection, park maintenance, street sweeping, and libraries, any interruption of those funds would have serious consequences. Unfortunately, the governor had no stated plan to provide for local government to replace the fee. He even suggested that it was the responsibility of the legislature and not him to fill the increased deficit hole he had dug. With an $8 billion shortfall in front of us, the legislature had no resources to tap. Not surprisingly, police and fire chiefs had press conferences last week warning of fire station closings and fewer police on our streets. At least 10 mayors are threatening to sue the state. The situation became urgent when the monthly VLF checks to local government that arrived on December 10th were slashed. Though an unnecessary crisis had been created, a solution was imperative. So the governor quickly came to the rescue of his personally created predicament by proclaiming a safety emergency and invoking extraordinary powers to make budget cuts sufficient to cover local government's immediate needs. State law allows him to do so independently, without any legislative or public review or comment. Subsequently, there is no way of assessing whether his cuts make sense or will result in even greater future costs. And I talked about this in For the Record 436. This was what Schwarzenegger was pushing for, unprecedented power, and this to make cuts, basically a drastic increase in the power of the governor to make uncontested cuts, basically establishing himself as a Kaiser or Fuhrer. And again, this last paragraph, because it's critical for understanding what we're getting into now. So the governor quickly came to the rescue of his personally created predicaments by proclaiming a public safety emergency and invoking extraordinary powers to make budget cuts sufficient to cut local government's immediate needs. State law allows him to do so independently without any legislative or public review or comment. Subsequently, there is no way of assessing whether his cuts make sense or will result in even greater future costs. And so, again, note that he has become the emergency Fuhrer here, as well as the Gruppenfuhrer. Following article is from ZNet's Internet Services. This is dated December 25th. Article by Marta Russell, Terror Master Governor Schwarzenegger. And it alludes to basically the way Schwarzenegger is going to balance the budget on the back, so to speak, or with the lives, by jeopardizing the lives of the disabled and the weak. Terminating items in a budget can be a fun affair. Just ask Governor Schwarzenegger, who is selling massive cuts to health and welfare services to the public in private California malls. All three of his major speeches last week were in malls with stores in the background and with consumers and small business owners as his target audience. In Sacramento, the governor's Department of Finance, headed by Director Donna Arduin, she has a reputation as a fierce budget cutter in Florida, is looking at health and human services and local government for the bulk of spending reductions. The administration is considering massive cuts to health and human services in both the current year budget now in operation and for next year, including huge cuts to regional center services and another rate reduction for Medi-Cal providers, cuts to healthy families, in-home support services, and other health and human service programs. $385 million would be cut from in-home support services alone, a program that allows disabled persons to remain in their homes as opposed to being warehoused in institutions. $98 million is on the block for programs for developmentally disabled persons. Schwarzenegger rescinded the car tax, increasing the size of an already huge deficit. He got elected pandering to small business interests who cry hardship. The Small Business Action Committee, a group headed by former Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association President Joel Fox, sponsored the rallies. Some activists expect that he would take the easy route and go after poor people's programs as he courted small businesses. Arnold's mentor and advisor, Pete Wilson, did just that. Governor Wilson did his best not to cross business and to balance the budget on the backs of disabled people. He eliminated the cost of living increase for those living on meager SSI benefits rather than ask business to pay a fair share. Now, the celebrity governor is giving massive public devastation a commercial glow by parading his act on California malls for small business and shopper appeal. Meanwhile, significantly disabled persons are living in fear all over this state. The screen persona Terminator has become a real-life terror master and is traumatizing disabled persons who rely on these programs. We'd also note that health care programs for children and education are also being butchered by Schwarzenegger. One of the things to understand about the emergency Führer is that, in fact, he is using his celebrity status and also very cleverly manipulating the media. Not only, obviously, did Schwarzenegger get to the point he got to as a result of the opinion-forming media, as it's put in the Nazi-tracked Serpent's Walk that I've accessed so often, but also his wife, Maria Shriver, is a commentator on NBC. For those people who have not lived in California, it's remarkable the way Schwarzenegger is manipulating public appearances, grandstanding with police and fire chiefs who necessarily want to get funding because they obviously you've got to have funding if you've got to deal with crime and fires. We're having all of these environmental disasters in California and the fiscal emergency that Schwarzenegger created and then basically assumed emergency powers in order to cure. But this is all being sold by the manipulation of the media. And it's amazing the extent to which the media have been sticking up for Arnold Schwarzenegger and not covering what he's been doing. There's been almost no coverage of his shenanigans vis-a-vis Enron. And the remarkable coverage, even in the pictures that you see of Schwarzenegger, they airbrush out the bolts in his neck to make him look good. But seriously, folks, the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, December 9th of 2001, had an article which indicates the way strings are being pulled to see to it that Schwarzenegger basically gets good press. In fact, remarkably good press. This is a Chronicle staff report. Governor names PR executive to a top staff post. It's Dateline Sacramento, and it reads, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger named a Sacramento public relations executive Wednesday as his deputy chief of staff to oversee ballot initiatives and the governor's office of special projects. The executive, Donna Lucas, worked briefly earlier this year as an advisor to Maria Shriver, Schwarzenegger's wife, during his transition into the governor's office. Lucas, 43, worked for the public relations firm Porter Novelli, overseeing its offices in Sacramento, Irvine, and San Diego. She and three other partners sold their public relations firm Nelson Communications Group to Porter Novelli in 2000. Lucas, who will earn $123,000 per year in this position, has a background in managing statewide ballot measure campaigns, a skill that Schwarzenegger is keen to tap since he has threatened to take many of his legislative proposals directly to voters if the legislature is unwilling to enact them. Now listen to the background of this woman, Donna Lucas. Donna Lucas is the wife of Greg Lucas, the Capitol Bureau Chief of the San Francisco Chronicle. While Donna Lucas is working for Schwarzenegger, Greg Lucas will be reassigned. To avoid any conflict of interest, he will not report on the Schwarzenegger administration or state government. No, but he is the Sacramento Bureau Chief for the San Francisco Chronicle, and his wife is going to be the Deputy Chief of Staff for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and she was working for Maria Shriver, Schwarzenegger's wife, during the transition period. Not a conflict of interest there. Basically this is indicative of the way that strings are being pulled to give Schwarzenegger good press. And this also should the emergency Führer should be taken in the context and the von Clausewitz concept of total war in the context of what is taking place nationwide. And we're going to take this up in the next broadcast. This is a Reuters story from the Yahoo website, Monday, December 22nd of 2003. Cash-strapped cities grapple with security costs. Dateline Washington. For cash-strapped U.S. cities and states, this week's heightened national threat alert level has reignited costs alongside fears of a new terror attack. From overtime for police officers to extra patrols at key facilities and borders, cities nationwide must spend tens of millions of dollars each week for the additional security measures, money some local officials say they don't have. It's enormously frustrating, said Randy King, spokesman for the city of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a state capital of 49,000 people near the Three Mile Island nuclear plant. All of it costs money, lots of money, and there's no federal reimbursement, he said. On Sunday, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security raised the color-coded terror alert level to high orange from elevated yellow the fourth such move this year. So what's taking place in California from a fiscal standpoint is also taking place nationally, the emergency furor of the state and that of the federal government acting in concert, and the end results for the population are the same. This concludes For the Record program number 440, The Triumph of the Shill, Part 4, being recorded on January 5th of 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.